Studio Classroom is here for you. It helps you in all you do. It helps you know what to do. So tune in and now enjoy the fun.
Hello friends, my name is Anne-Marie, and today is a great day to learn something new.
So let's do that together. My name is Gabe, and you are watching
Studio Classroom. You're just in time for day two of our article all about geysers.
Geysers. Yesterday we learned all about how geysers work. It was quite an interesting article. Things I don't usually consider, but it is fun to learn about what happens underneath the Earth's crust.
Yeah, we talked about the mantle where the temperatures are really, really hot and pressure can build up as the water heats there. And sometimes the water there can flow out and become a hot spring, but when it gets trapped in a chamber and the pressure gets really, really high, it will explode or erupt into a geyser.
Well, today we have something else, another aspect to learn about geysers. So let's get right into the first reading for the day.
Geysers. There are only about 1,000 known active geysers in the world, many of which are found in clusters called geyser fields. The world's largest geyser field is in Yellowstone National Park, which contains about half of the world's active geysers.
Welcome to Language Lab. I'm Jack. 一起来看 cluster 这个名词，意思呢是一群或一簇。来看例句 ：Peering through the telescope, she spotted a cluster of stars. 她透过望远镜看到一群星星。Cluster 也可以当动词，意思是使簇拥或是使聚集。譬如 ，The students clustered around the bulletin board to check their grades.学生们围在布告栏前查看他们的成绩。形容词 clustered 是动词 cluster 的过去分词，表示聚集的或群聚的。譬如 clustered settlements are common in rural farming areas， 在乡村耕作地区聚落很常见。
Okay, friends, let's now learn more about geysers and where they are located in the world. We see here there are only about 1,000 known active geysers in the world. Let's stop there for a moment and talk about what we mean when we say something is active.
Yeah, if something in nature is active, it means it's currently moving or working, or in this case, erupting, like a geyser or a volcano.
For example, Mount Etna is an active volcano. That means that this mountain, this volcano, still erupts sometimes. Now, we often talk about the opposite of this word, to be inactive. So there are a lot of inactive volcanoes and geysers around the world, too.
It's true. And when it comes to volcanoes, there's another word we might use to talk about. If it's inactive for a period of time, but it could erupt sometime in the future, that's a dormant volcano. D-O-R-M-A-N-T. But we want to talk about some other things here that have to do with geysers, many of which are found in clusters called geyser fields. This is an area with many hot springs that shoot water upward.
So when you think about a field, you can think of a large area of land. So this makes me think that there are a lot of geysers near each other. Many tourists love visiting geyser fields in Iceland.
You know, talking about geyser fields and the idea of water shooting up here and there, it kind of reminds you of like a water show at Disneyland or like that.
That's not a natural water show.
No,
this
not
is
at all.
A natural water
and
show.
And that one you could kind of get up close and maybe even feel the water.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to get up close to these geysers in a geyser field.
I didn't realize that the water was so hot in geysers. Yeah. I don't think I ever thought about that before.
Well, it must be like those super hot springs,
right? It must be.
Yeah, because it's at boiling point.
Right.
The water's coming out at boiling point or even hot. hotter. Okay, well, friends, do be careful around geysers. You have to appreciate them from a safe distance. The world's largest geyser field is in Yellowstone National Park. No real surprise there, which contains about half of the world's active geysers. Contains, that means it has inside.
Now you might think, okay, a park isn't a container. You can't put things inside of a park. Well, we use the word contains when we talk about areas of land, if that thing is located within that perimeter. But here's another way that you could use that word contains. The box contains old photographs.
All right, so far we've talked about how there are only 1,000 known geysers in the world, and that a lot of these are found in geyser fields, and that most geysers are actually found in Yellowstone National Park, or the world's largest geyser field is actually there. I don't know, Anne-Marie, 1,000, it sounds like a lot to me, but I guess considering how big the world is, maybe that's not that much.
This is really interesting when you think about it, because our article says there are 1,000 active geysers in the world, mm-hmm. and half of those active geysers are in Yellowstone. That means Yellowstone has 500 active geysers.
Yeah, all the more reason for us to visit Yellowstone National Park.
Definitely.
Let's go. Later, we have to go to our next reading first.
Geysers. Some geysers erupt regularly, while others have unpredictable or varying gaps of time between eruptions. The frequency of eruptions can be modified by weather, earthquakes, or the activity of other geysers in the same geyser field. And geyser activity patterns can change over time, becoming more or less frequent, stopping altogether, and sometimes starting up again.
Modify 意思是修改或调整，譬如 he modified the spaghetti sauce recipe by adding extra garlic and chili. 他调整了意大利面酱的食谱，在里面多加了蒜头和辣椒。Modify 的名词是 modification， 意思是修改或变更。譬如 taking into consideration her students' circumstances。 The teacher approved the modification to the assignment deadline. 考虑到学生的情况，老师同意调整交作业的截止日期。 如果把 modify 字尾的y 改成 ier， 就变成名词 modifier， 在文法中是指修饰语。譬如 in grammar， an adjective is a common type of modifier。 在文法中， 形容词是一种常见的修饰语。
Okay, friends, as we get into our next section, I want to take a minute to review a term that we talked about yesterday. We learned that for geysers and for volcanoes, the verb that we use is erupt. This means to explode outward with force.
The volcano could erupt at any moment. In fact, a famous volcano eruption in history, Mount St. Helens. Do you remember hearing about that
eruption?
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, that erupted the night after my parents got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was kind of a way to celebrate their marriage. Anyway, getting back to our lesson about geysers here. Some geysers erupt regularly, while others have unpredictable or varying gaps of time between eruptions. Let's talk about this word unpredictable. This is not able to be expected or guessed or predicted.
Let's use this in a sentence. The weather in April is often unpredictable. You don't know if it's going to be sunny or rainy or chilly. It's hard to predict. Now, we also see something else in this sentence that I want to talk about, the phrase gaps of time. Now, when we're talking about a gap, we're talking about a space or a period where nothing happens or where there is nothing. So here we're talking about periods of time where nothing happens.
For example, there were long gaps of time between the classes. For some colleges or universities, you get to choose your own classes and the class times, and some people like to choose classes where there are long gaps of time in between.
Okay, so we keep reading here, friends. The frequency of eruptions can be modified by weather, earthquakes, or the activity of other geysers in the same geyser field. And geyser activity patterns can change over time. Yesterday, we talked about how Old Faithful was faithful because it erupts like clockwork. You could say it has a pattern.
That's right. So a repeated pattern a pattern is a repeated design of regular ways of doing something. You could talk about patterns in other areas too. The teacher noticed patterns in how students answered questions. They seemed to be answering in kind of the same way every time.
Okay, so geyser patterns can change over time. Sometimes they become less frequent or more frequent. Sometimes they can stop together and the geyser goes inactive or dormant. And then sometimes they start up again. We see this word frequent here, friends. Before we move on, let's talk about what that means.
Yeah, frequent means happening often. Mark takes frequent breaks while studying. And if you're working really hard, then you do need to work hard and maybe have some deep work, but then take frequent breaks so that you're not too tired. Well, Anne-Marie, what do you think about geysers and frequent so far?
Well, it seems like a lot of geysers have some type of pattern to when they erupt, and some don't. And it's really interesting because, like volcanoes, geysers can become inactive or even go dormant. So this is really interesting.
All right, well, friends, we do have a little bit more to learn. But now it's time for us to take a deep dive into the geyser. No, we're not taking a dive into a geyser. We're just going to enjoy today's deep dive.
Deep dive!
Hi, friends. Let's take a deep dive into the English language together. What are we looking for today? Start it up. I once had a scooter that refused to cooperate. Every morning I'd turn the key, hold my breath, and hope for the best. Sometimes the engine would start up right away. Other times, just coughing and disappointment. Let's talk about that phrase, start up. It means to begin operating, especially after being off or inactive. Start and startup are very similar, but startup often sounds more mechanical or official, like things turning on, whirring, or launching. For example, the engine won't start up. The computer started up again after the update. They started up a new company last year. And then there's restart. That means something already started before, but had to begin again. The movie was paused, but then it restarted. So start means begin. Start up means begin operating. Restart means begin again. Thanks for diving deep with me. Stay afloat. Until next time.
Geysers. Scientists have performed several interesting experiments on geysers. One involved putting dye in the water of Old Faithful, the largest geyser in Yellowstone National Park, to see how long it took for the geyser to expel all its water. Not until the geyser had erupted 24 times did the dye fully disappear, proving that the chamber below Old Faithful contained far more water than came out in any one eruption. This and other experiments may shed light on how volcanoes work, because although geysers and volcanoes are different phenomena, they do have some similar features. As scientists conduct more experiments, they seek to better comprehend how, when, and why geysers erupt, deepening our understanding of our amazing planet.
后来看动词 comprehend， 意思呢是理解或是领会。譬如 visit the student center for free academic tutoring if you struggle to comprehend the course materials or assignment requirements。如果你对课程内容或作业要求很难理解，可以去学生中心参加免费的学业说明。它的名词是 comprehension， 意思是理解力。譬如 strong reading comprehension is essential for doing well on standardized testing。 想要在标准化测验中取得好成绩，扎实的阅读理解力非常重要。 comprehend 的形容词comprehensible 是指可理解的或是清楚的。譬如 The speaker explained the concept in a clear and comprehensible way。 演讲者用清晰易懂的方式解释了这个概念。以上就是今天的 Language Lab， 我们下次见。
This last section is very interesting to me, friends. We find out here that scientists have performed several interesting experiments on geysers. Of course, if something is interesting, it means it's something that catches your attention.
That's right, you're interested in it now. Emma found the science experiment interesting. So...She was interested in the science experiment. Remember how to use those words. They mean different things. You are interested in something because it is interesting. So, scientists have performed several interesting experiments on geysers. One involved putting dye in the water of Old Faithful, the largest geyser in Yellowstone National Park, to see how long it took for the geyser to expel all its water.You can already see where this experiment is going, and maybe you have your own ideas or predictions of what would happen. But before we get there, let's talk about this word, expel.
The word expel means to force out. Here's an example of how you could use it in a sentence. The school may expel students who cheat. They force them out of the school.
Well, expelling can be used in different ways, and here we're talking about how this geyser can expel all its water. Not until the geyser had erupted 24 times did the dye fully disappear. 24 times. Each time there is tons of water being forced through the surface of the earth.
And we learned yesterday that Old Faithful erupts about every 90 minutes. So This took a day and a half.
Yeah, good point. So this proves that the chamber below Old Faithful contained far more water than came out in any one eruption. So Old Faithful, there's a lot going on beneath the surface.
Yeah, so we're learning here that when a geyser erupts, it doesn't necessarily expel all of the water that's in that chamber at the same time. It's maybe only relieving a little bit of that pressure, and there's still more water there.
Okay, well, we are continuing to learn. Scientists are continuing to learn. And every time they learn and research things and they discover things, we could say those things shed light on what we know, right? Or shed light on what we're trying to find out about. This and other experiments may shed light on how volcanoes work, because although geysers and volcanoes are different phenomena, they do have some similar features. Let's talk about that phrase to shed light on a little bit more here. This means to make something clearer.
Let's use it in a sentence. The article helped shed light on the problem. I like to think of this phrase as someone walking around with a flashlight in a dark room. If you have a flashlight and you're trying to find something, once the light goes on the thing you're trying to find, you have shed light on it, and it's easier for you or someone else to see. Just like when you shed light on a problem, you might not be able to find a solution, or maybe people don't know about the problem until you shed light on it.
It's a great phrase to know. Maybe there's something that you need to shed light on in your life. Think of another way to use that phrase. But of course, we're finding out about how experiments are shedding light on how volcanoes actually work, because even though geysers and volcanoes are quite different, they do share some things in common, right? Like the idea of erupting.
Okay, As scientists conduct more experiments, they seek to better comprehend how, when, and why geysers erupt, deepening our understanding of our amazing planet. We learn a really great word here, friends, to conduct. And this is the verb that we use when we talk about experiments, to conduct an experiment. Now, conduct means to carry out or to direct something.
That's right. The scientist will conduct an experiment tomorrow. We are conducting a survey. That means we're carrying out a survey. We would like everybody to fill out this survey. A lot of times we use this word when it comes to research.
That's right. We also use it when we're talking about music. A conductor conducts music. And you could also say that someone conducts traffic.
That's right. There's different types of conductors, right? Or the different ways we use that verb conduct. But here we're talking about scientists who are conducting more experiments. And of course, they want to better understand and comprehend why geysers erupt, deepening our understanding of our amazing planet. Well, something, because we're talking about geysers and a lot of them are in Yellowstone National Park, something I learned about Yellowstone a few years ago is kind of scary, Anne-Marie.
What's that?
That Yellowstone is actually considered a supervolcano.
Oh.
Not just any old volcano, but a supervolcano.
What's the difference?
Well, if it erupts, the impact will be far worse than another volcano. So one of our friends actually lives in Montana near Yellowstone. I said, well, what's going to happen if this supervolcano erupts? Because a lot of it is just activity that's going on way beneath the surface. She said, well, we're gonna die in an instant.
Oh my.
Because it would impact probably 100,000 kilometer, kind of square kilometers
wow.
radius. Crazy, right?
That is crazy.
Crazy to think about how powerful these forces are in the earth.
All right, friends. Well, we're gonna talk about this more in just a moment, but right now it's time to go to today's usage tip.
Today's usage tip, you like kind. Not until 加时间或事件，加助动词或 be 动词，加主词加动词的句型。Not until 是指直到什么时候才发生什么事，用来强调某事发生的时间点。当 not until 放在句首的时候呢，主句需要采用部分倒装，也就是将助动词或 be 动词跟主词对调。这个句型属于强调的句法，常见于正式的文章或是需要凸显出时间的叙述。来看例句 ：I did not realize it was empty until I opened the box， 或者是 Not until I opened the box did I realize it was empty， 直到打开盒子，我才发现里面是空的。
Friends, we've reached the end of today's lesson, but before we go, let's discuss today's talk about a question. How might people benefit if scientists discover more about geysers?
If scientists discover more about geysers, they're probably also discovering more about volcanoes and volcanic activity. I would assume one reason we want to know more about these things is to help people in case of natural disasters, to be able to escape quickly. And
yeah.
So if we know, for example, beforehand when a volcano might erupt, then people might flee or evacuate sooner.
I think you might be right about that. What do you think, friends? Why do we need to learn more about geysers? Well, that's all the time we have for today. My name is Anne-Marie.
And my name is Gabe. See you next time right here on
Studio Classroom. Bye.
I am so proud to have you in my life. A good friend lasts a lifetime.